So today our message is titled Better Than Ever. And today's message is for anyone. It's for anyone who wants to become better than ever, anyone who wants to just improve the general quality of your life. But for those of us who are here in person this morning, those of us who consider ourselves members of Lampson Road, there's a specific context because, as we've said, today is the beginning, it is the kickoff date of our 40 days of prayer. And so today and then the next 6 weeks, the messages that Pastor Mike and I bring will be based off of the 40 Days of Prayer campaign and inspired by Pastor Rick Warren's messages. Of course, he and I will both alter and change the messages as we see fit. And today we're actually not going to be talking about prayer, but we're kind of going to be kicking off this by talking about setting good habits. And all of these habits that we're going to talk about today are actually habits that we will be putting in place and practicing as part of our 40 Days of Prayer campaign. But of course, if you're not a member of our church or you're not sure if you want to take part of the campaign or you're listening or watching online, these habits you can just apply to your life in general as well. The tagline for the 40 days of prayer is that we will all learn how to pray with more confidence and greater faith than ever before. So we're looking in our life and in our prayer life to become better than ever. So let's begin with five habits to help you become better than ever. The first habit is to learn in different ways. Now, you might have heard this before, but a lot of us have one natural way that helps us learn more than others. There are actually four different learning styles, four styles of learning. The first one is visual. That's when you learn by watching. You learn by seeing, often like a graph. A picture or a diagram is very helpful to you. The next one is auditory. You learn by listening. Maybe you like audiobooks or podcasts or listening to a sermon, listening to a teacher or a preacher, someone explain something to you. The next one is reading and writing. This is when you get the most information when you're reading a book or reading an instructional manual or maybe writing something down as well. If you learn by taking notes, which is why many of you like that, and it's why we provide the handwritten notes that you can follow along with in the message. And the other one is kinesthetic. That means that you learn by doing. You're very hands-on. Maybe someone explains something to you, but you're not going to fully understand it before you do it yourself. So there's four different styles of learning. And I want to encourage you as a habit, of course, there might be one that helps you the best, but the best way that you can learn anything is to focus on learning in all of these different styles. For some of you, your extent of your Christian life might be to attend church on a Sunday morning. But that isn't enough because the church might be visual and it might be auditory, but you're missing out on learning in the other areas of life. And God speaks to us in many different ways, and He wants to speak to you more than on just Sunday morning church services. He wants to speak to you throughout the week. So I want to encourage you, as one of the habits that we're going to establish in the next 40 days is to learn in different ways. And the great thing is that if you follow all of the other habits and you take place in the 40 days of prayer, we're going to be learning in different styles. You'll be learning from Pastor Mike and I as we preach and you listen to us. And then the small groups, you guys are going to read and write and you're going to talk and explain things. You're going to get hands-on in your personal life. You're going to practice the things that we're teaching. So learn in different ways. Second habit this morning is to get involved in church. Church is incredibly important. It's vital to being a follower of Jesus. And unfortunately, there are many of us who consider it to not be vital, that you can be a follower of Jesus without being connected in a church and connected in a community of believers. The church has tons of benefits. And as we know, we're currently living in a loneliness epidemic. The U.S. Attorney General actually has said that it is an epidemic, that we are so lonely. And this was happening even before isolation, even before COVID brought about the isolation and the quarantine. We're living in a loneliness epidemic. And this is why church is so important, because there are actually negative health effects to being alone, negative health effects to being isolated, to not being in a community of like-minded believers and people who are willing to support you and walk with you throughout life. There are many benefits of active church involvement. The first one is finding community. Church is a fantastic place to meet people who, again, believe the same thing that you are, who are hopefully on the same life trajectory, the same path that you are in. It's a fantastic way to meet people and find community. It's also a great place to discover your giftings. Maybe you haven't heard this before, but God created you with specific giftings, specific skills and talents that He wants you to use for His kingdom. And church is a fantastic place to discover what those giftings are. We have tons of areas here at Lamson Road that you can serve. And by serving out and trying out these different areas, you can discover which one is your natural skill, which one is your natural talent. Because God gave you something special that He wants you to use. And again, church is a fantastic place to discover what that is. Next benefit is you can develop your leadership skills. Now, at that point, you may or may not say, well, I'm not really a leader. Leadership isn't really my thing. But I want to challenge you to change your mindset on leadership, because we are all leaders. We all have influence on people around us, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your school, whether it's in your family or your relationships or just among your friends. We are all leaders, and God wants us all to practice and to grow our leadership skills. And again, one of the best places on earth to grow your leadership skills is through your local church. Because we're looking for leaders. We're looking for people who notice a problem and want to take action. And we want to help you. We want to support you in that role. If you're to come to Pastor Mike or I and say, hey, this is something that I want to try. This is my plan. These are the steps that we want to take. As long as it fits in our mission and vision for the church, we would love to support you in that. Lead a small group. Develop your leadership skills by listening to people in a small group. Build up your leadership skills. Develop them in your church. The last benefit is find fulfillment. By discovering your giftings and using them for a good cause, by developing your leadership skills in a community of people who love you and support you, you can find such a deep fulfillment. Because you know that what you're doing is actually making a difference. A great way to find personal fulfillment, I'll encourage you, is one of the Saturdays when we go deliver food to the neighborhood church and serve a meal there, do that. It is such an amazing experience. It's been a very long time since I've done it, but I really need to do it because it's such an incredible blessing to see just the gratefulness of the people that you're serving and to serve alongside the amazing people at the neighborhood church. It's such a wonderful experience. But get involved in the local church. Sitting here and looking forward isn't enough. Just merely attending a church service isn't enough. You're not getting out of church everything that you could be getting out of church, everything that God wants for you. Get involved. If you want to really start experiencing the benefits of being a part of a local church, you need to get plugged in. You need to get involved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about the local church and just the big church in general, and he's comparing it to a body. He's saying that we are like the body of Christ. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ and with followers of Jesus. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. So regardless of who you are, regardless of your life circumstances, if you've accepted Jesus, we are all in one body. We are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. He goes on in verse 21 to say, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. To be fully honest, I understand the challenges of being in a local body, in a church, to be in a Christian community. Let's be honest, it's not always easy. Sometimes it can be challenging. Sometimes there's, unfortunately, because we're human, there can be drama. There can be conflict. I understand that. And there have been several times in my life when I've thought about giving up that part of the Christian experience, of falling into the temptation of thinking, you know what? I can follow Jesus and not have to be with this group of people. But that's wrong. The experience of Christianity, the experience of following Jesus cannot be done in isolation. This movement of Christianity, this movement of following Jesus was established in a community, and it only works in a community. Because again, you were just one part of the body of Christ. And as Paul said, head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Because then you'd just be a head rolling around on the floor. Don't be a head just rolling around on the floor. You need other people to help support you in your walk with Christ. Can it be complicated? Can it be challenging? Yes, because it's like being a part of a family. And as we all know, being a part of a family can be complicated and it can be challenging. And I know some people have real church hurts. I know some people have horrible, inexcusable experiences that happened in a group of people who claim to be Christians. And I just want to say to those people that I'm sure if I listened to your story and what happened to you, I would fully understand why you don't want to be a part of it anymore. But that's not Jesus. And those people were not reflecting Jesus. And if you were hurt by those people, by a church, I want to encourage you, find another one, because you will find a group of believers who are willing to support you and care for you and deal with that very real trauma and that very real pain. If you're a parent and your child says, I didn't like kindergarten, or I didn't like studying school this year, hopefully you're not going to say, well, great, you don't have to do it next year. No, you encourage them to try again. And try again and try again, because it's vital to being a follower of Jesus. So, to those of us of Lampson Road, my challenge to you is be here the next 6 weeks. 6 weeks, that's all I'm asking. As we do this 40 Days of Prayer campaign, plan to be here every week. And not only that, but look for areas to serve. Talk to some of our leadership in the church. Look for areas that you can get involved to fully experience the benefits and blessings of church. Habit 3, spend time alone with God. This is going to be a big habit that we're going to be establishing over the next 40 days. But every day, spend time alone with God. And as we know, it takes time to form a habit. This might sound familiar to some of you, maybe not. But oftentimes we'll say, you know what, I really need to get back into spending alone time with God, to praying and reading the Bible. And what happens? You might do it a couple days in a row, and then you forget a couple days, and then you get back to it, and like, no, I'm going to get back to it. And then you might miss a couple days, and a couple days turns into a couple weeks, and a couple weeks might turn, and you're like, man, my Bible's getting a little bit dusty. No, it takes time to establish a habit. And there's lots of benefits to daily time alone with God. The first one is to gain peace through prayer. And this is why I want to encourage you, figure out your schedule, rework your schedule in a way to do this first thing in the morning. First thing when you wake up, spend time with God, because the peace that you will get from that time is inexplainable. It's amazing, and it will follow you throughout the rest of your day. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Start your morning off with a time of prayer. And guess what? I heard Pastor Andy Stanley talking about this in a message that he did recently. When you start your morning off by a time of prayer, it sensitizes your conscience. So that throughout the day, as you go throughout the day, you've already submitted yourself to Christ that day. And you're more aware of what you're doing. You're more aware of what you're saying. You're more aware of how you're reacting to situations around you. So start your morning off with a time of prayer, and I promise you, you will gain peace. Second benefit is can gain wisdom through Scripture. Gain wisdom through Scripture. The book of the Bible, it's not one book. I want to encourage you to not think of it as one book. It is a collection of 66 books written by anywhere between 35 and 40 different men over the course of 1,500 years. Any book like that is bound to have wisdom in it. Regardless of what you believe, I want to encourage you, if you're not even sure what you believe about the Bible, if you're not even sure if you think that everything in the Bible is real, there is still wisdom and lessons to be gained from it. So much wisdom and leadership skills. We talked about some just in the book of Nehemiah just a couple weeks ago. There's wisdom to be gained from Scripture. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, "All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." By reading Scripture and starting your morning off the Scripture, you're going to gain wisdom that's going to follow you throughout the day and prepare you, thoroughly equip you, as Paul says, for whatever situation you may encounter and whatever situation may arise. So gain wisdom from reading Scripture. Next benefit is to grow your relationship with God. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he told us that the best way to view God is as a heavenly Father, a perfect Father, that we are his kids and he wants nothing more than to have a relationship with us. And to raise us and to help us become better because he loves us. And he wants to talk to you about anything, really about anything. And that's something we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear your voice. Grow your relationship through God. If you've never prayed before, it's not complicated. You don't need to memorize anything. In fact, don't memorize anything. Just talk to him the way that you would a perfect father. Tell him about your day. Tell him about your interests, your passions, your struggles, whatever it is. You'll grow your relationship to God. If you feel like you're not very close to God right now, I want you to know it's not him who's moved, it's you. Maybe you're not spending that time with him that you need to. Grow your relationship with God by spending daily time with him. So over the next 40 days, If you're participating in the 40 Days of Prayer campaign, there is a book that we've told you that we can order. If you want that link, it's not too late. Get it whenever you can. Come see me after church. There's actually a daily prayer journal. So every day you can go, and it has questions about prayer and what you asked for, what you heard God say. And I encourage you, for the next 40 days, build this habit. The next 40 days, start your morning off with a daily time of prayer. Habit 3 is participate in a small group. Participate in a small group. For those of you who might not know what a small group is, sometimes they're called Bible studies, sometimes they're called life groups. It's very simple. It is a group of people, as little as 2 or 3, as Scripture says, who meet together to talk about God, talk about their lives. It's that simple. You don't even need to do it through a church context. You can do it with your friends. Establish a time to meet together, share what's going on in your life, and then have something that you want to study together. Just pull up a sermon, anyone, on YouTube and watch it together and talk about it. Read a book. Decide that you want to read through the book of John and talk every week, every 2 weeks, however often you want to do it, about what you've discovered in that book today. It's simple. But the ramifications are huge. The impact it can have on your life are huge. Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And again, I have to be honest with you, attending church service on Sunday mornings is not enough. Because you all look great, by the way. You're all sitting there. You're very polite. Most of you are awake. But what are you doing? You're sitting there looking forward. You're looking at me. You're not looking around. And please don't look around. It would be very distracting for everyone. That's not what Sunday morning church is for. But it's so difficult to develop relationships in a context like this when you're only meeting for such a limited amount of time on a Sunday morning. And of course, we like to chit-chat and talk before and after service, hopefully not during service, but you do you. But it's so hard to develop and grow your relationships during a time like that, because that's not what it's for. Again, you can meet people. Church is a fantastic place to meet people, but you can't grow and develop your relationships with them. There needs to be another context that you're meeting together, ideally in a much smaller group so that you can open up and connect. If you've never experienced a small group setting, I feel sorry for you, and I want to encourage you, now is your chance. And if you haven't experienced it in a long time, I want to encourage you to do it. And oftentimes, here's what happens. You're in a small group, and oftentimes there's a time of sharing what's going on in your life, maybe just introducing yourself. And the first person or couple will you know, share what's going on in their life. Yeah, everything's generally going good. Looking forward to meeting new people. Second person or second couple goes, yeah, looking forward to meeting people. Everything's, you know, going pretty well. And then once you get to the third or the fourth person, they'll be the honest ones. And they'll say, you know what? I have to be honest, things aren't going that well. We're struggling in our relationship. I'm struggling with my faith. I'm struggling with this habit, this addiction. Or I'm in a bad place in my finances or in my career right now. And then the first person you shared will say, I need to share again. Because I relate to that. The second person will say, I also need to share again because I can relate to that. And there's something so freeing and encouraging about being in a community and a small group of people that you can trust and you can actually share what's going on in your life. Some of you have never experienced that. There's several benefits to being in a small group. The first big one, as we talked about, is developing relationships. Because again, Sunday morning is not enough. It's not enough to get to know someone. It's not enough to understand what they're going through, what their likes and dislikes and passions are. If you're single, just to let you know, lots of people have started relationships through small groups. And small groups is a perfect place to build lasting friendships, relationships that are last throughout your life, even past when the small group might be 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, those relationships and friendships will last throughout your life. And if you've been in a small group that you didn't really like, try it again. Try it again. I've been in a couple small groups that just didn't really work out. They weren't great fits, but I've also been in some amazing ones, especially in this church, that were just so encouraging and so life-changing. Next benefit is you can share your struggles, as we talked about. Share your struggles with people. Be honest. Share what's going on in your life. Galatians chapter 6 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We like to talk about the law of Christ. That's really just Christ's one law. Love each other the way that I loved you. Love each other the way that Jesus loved us, through carrying our burdens. When we carry each other's burdens and pray for each other with whatever we're dealing through, it's so uplifting. It's so encouraging. And you feel this weight literally taken off of you when someone else is willing to say, I'll pick it up. The next benefit is you can find accountability. This is perfect. If you've ever been in some type of health transformation or trying to lose weight or start exercising, going to the gym more, you probably know that it works best when you have someone else who's doing it beside you. When you have someone else who's going to hold you accountable, who's going to say, hey, you want to go to the gym? And you say no. And they say, too bad. We're going. When you have someone else who is in the struggle with you, you know, misery loves company. When someone else who's willing to walk beside you, encourage you, and challenge you, oftentimes whenever someone in my family is trying to gain weight, we've never tried to gain weight. That just happens. Whenever we're trying to lose weight, we often have to tell everyone else so that we can encourage each other. Hey, please try not to bring any sweets home the next couple of weeks because I'm trying to lose weight. Find accountability. People who are willing to hopefully, in love and in truth, call you out when you need to be called out, because you know sometimes you need to be called out. People who are willing to encourage you and support you. That leads us to the fourth benefit. Encourage and be encouraged. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. You need the small group setting to be able to talk to each other and encourage each other. When you can say, hey, things aren't really going out as well as I had hoped, or I struggled a bit this week, to have people who are willing to say, hey, I'm going to pray for you, and I know that you can do this with God's help. And whatever way you need help, we're willing to do that. You need a small group setting to do that. So, as we've talked about, we have 3 small groups, Mondays and then 2 on Wednesdays. We have sign-up sheets in the back of the sanctuary. I encourage you to join one of those small groups and experience the benefits and the blessings of that setting. If you can't join one of those, or you're not interested in one of those, grab 2 friends, start your own. Grab 2 friends and start your own. You need to experience that. 5th habit is commit to growth. You might think that this isn't necessarily a habit, but it is. And it is a habit that you need to establish daily. Every morning when you make up, or when you wake up, ideally when you're spending the time with God, you need to commit that today you're going to try to become better. That today you're going to focus on improving yourself. There's several ways that you can do that. The first one is set goals. Last week, Pastor Mike preached an entire message about goal setting, the importance of goal setting, and how to set goals. If you haven't heard it, I encourage you to go on YouTube, go on our Facebook page, find it, and watch it. But set goals. Second one is plan ahead. Plan ahead. Don't leave things to chance. If you're participating in the 40 days of prayer, don't just say, I'm going to do it whenever I get the chance. Whenever I have a free moment in the day, that's when I'm going to do my time of prayer. Because you're not going to have a free time of the day. We know how it goes. There is no free time in your day. Your free time is filled with scrolling on Facebook or watching YouTube videos. It's not going to happen. Be proactive. Decide today what time of day you're going to spend that time with God. Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Don't leave it to chance. Plan ahead. The fifth step, or the third step, is expect to change. If you're hearing Pastor Mike and I share about this 40 Days of Prayer campaign and you're thinking to yourself, "I don't really think I'm going to get anything out of this," then I have good news for you. You'll be proven right. You're not going to get anything out of this. Just like if you're trying to lose weight and you think, "You know what? I don't think it's going to happen." Guess what? It's probably not going to happen because your heart needs to be in it and you need to expect change. And God rewards people who have faith in him. If you decide right now to commit to this and to believe that God is going to work through you, he will reward that faith. I guarantee you, he will do something in your life through the next 40 days. So set goals, plan ahead, and expect to change. And I understand, a lot of us are thinking, "That sounds great, but I'm so busy. That sounds great, but I'm working full time. I've got the family. I've got this. I've got that. I've got other responsibilities and obligations. I'm too busy." I just want to challenge you and ask you this question. When you think about yourself, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, who do you want your future self to be? How do you want your future self to act towards others? How do you want your future mindset to be? How do you want your future self to react to negative circumstances and challenges in life? If there's any area in your life that you say, "I want to hopefully be better at this or that, or just better in general in the next year," then you need to take action. Growth is not convenient. Growth is going to cost you something. Growth is going to challenge you. You will have to sacrifice time and resources in order to grow. It's not convenient, but it is worth it. And your soul is the most important aspect of your life. It is what makes you, you. And if you're not actively trying to grow and improve the health of your soul, it's opening you up to weakness. It's opening you up to temptation. It's opening you up to struggle. The health of your soul affects every other aspect of your life. So if you're just focusing, "Yeah, I don't really care about that, but I do want to lose weight," I'm telling you, the health of your soul will impact how you view the health of your body. If you're worried about your finances, the health of your soul will impact the way that you view and handle your money. If you're worried about your relationships, do I need to go on? The health of your soul impacts every aspect of your life. Don't neglect the health of your soul. Participate in the 40 days of prayer. That's my challenge. Participate in the 40 days of prayer. It will help you become a better person, and you will be grateful for the change it's had and your life. So, 5 specific action steps for those of us who are at Lamps and Roan. First one is listen, watch, read, and practice. Listen, watch, read, and practice. Don't focus on one way to learn, focus on several. Second action step is attend church for the next 6 weeks. Attend church for the next 6 weeks. You want to take time off after that? go ahead. But the next 6 weeks, be here for our 40 days of prayer messages. And if you want to add a little extra challenge, look for areas to serve. Third step is join a small group. Join a small group. Join a small group. That is the best church experience you can have, is in a small group. You don't want to join one of the three that we have? Fine, start your own. But be plugged in. Join a small group. Fourth action step is daily time with God for 40 days. Daily time with God for 40 days. Encourage you to do it in the morning. If you can't for some reason, that's fine. But spend time with God for 40 days. If you miss one day, don't miss two. The fifth step is just decide today to commit to 40 days of prayer. Place your faith in God that He is going to work through you through the next 40 days. The difference will be noticeable. The impact will be tangible. So I encourage you, 40 days of prayer, commit to it, and you will become better than ever. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for this campaign that we've brought to this church. We are deciding today, this morning, to commit to it. Regardless of where we are in our faith journey, regardless of what we think or how devoted or committed we are to this whole Jesus movement, Lord, we're just deciding that for the next 40 days, we want to focus on this. We're placing our faith in you, and we are expectant that we are going to grow through it. We are expectant that you are going to strengthen relationships with each other and with you, and that our prayer lives will become more impactful, and we'll learn to pray with greater faith and more confidence than ever before. I thank you for this word, and I thank you for these people who are deciding to commit to this challenge, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.